I want to turn your attention for a little while to Colossians 3:21, then Ephesians 6:4. You do not have to be a father to apply this lesson this morning to your life. But Paul writes two different churches, and he writes to the fathers. And he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Then in Ephesians 6 and 4, he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And perhaps that's why I was so thankful to see these families here today thanking God, because they must have been brought up. They must not have been turned out of the way. They're still here today. I want to talk a little while about the source of courage. The source of your courage. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity once again to bring your word and enlighten us, God, about something that will show us a way to be more holy, to be more righteous, to be more pure, to be a better person also in this world. We're thankful, Lord, that you shed your blood on Calvary's hill that we might apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, because you took our sins away. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. God bless you. You may be seated. I think it was in The Wizard of Oz that the lion lacked courage, wasn't it? He didn't have a roar about him. He was a coward. He needed courage. The lion was supposed to be the most courageous, the most unfearful, the most dreaded animal of the forest. But in The Wizard of Oz, he didn't have any courage. And courage, my brothers and sisters, is not a body thing. It's not about how muscular you are, how strong you are. It's a mind thing. Courage is about a mental attitude towards something. It's about the spirit of something. And I mean, you don't have to be big to have a lot of courage. But without courage, you don't do anything. You don't try anything. You're not adventurous. Somebody had to say, what was it, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, is that right? Somebody had to have courage to believe the world wasn't flat. And he sailed out not knowing, really, kind of like Abraham, not knowing where he would go. Somebody has to have the courage to step out. It doesn't take as much courage to follow somebody once it's been proven as it does to establish something, right? And I want to talk to you about the source of courage. Discouragement comes so easily. It comes so easily, while encouragement is something you just got to build it up, build it up, build it up, build it up. And, you know, a lady can put on a dress and she can say, how do I look? And I could go, oh, honey, that's beautiful. It just looks great on you. Looks good. I love those colors. It's just wonderful. And just try to build it up, build it up. It makes you look vibrant. And then I say, but you look a little pale in that. It doesn't matter how many words that I have said to try to build it up. That one word, I dare say it makes you look a little, because that's coming off. All the words that we try to encourage people and build them up and encourage them, and here somebody comes by, maybe even you, and discourages you, said he'll never be anything. And there's somebody's trying to build you. Oh, you just don't know. You got untapped potential in you. You just don't know God's going to use you. And somebody comes and says, you ain't never going to get your life right. And it takes it all out. Are you an encourager of men? Think about it. Don't you like to be encouraged even in the midst of your failures? Wow. David had 600 men. Now listen to me. 600 men he had, and he said he had no mighty men of valor real mighty men of valor that fought battles, but he made an announcement. Maybe he put an ad in the paper, sent out emails, got on Facebook, I don't know. But he sent out some kind of communication, said, if you're in distress, if you're discouraged or dismayed, you had to have a D on your report card. You can be in David's army. Man, the line got long. There was 600 men that fit the bill. I'm discouraged. I want to be encouraged. I want to be part of something. I want to feel like I'm part of something, you know? And I'll just be with David and his army. Even though he's not the king, and even though he's not, I still want to be part. And he called them, the Bible says, and he called them his mighty men of valor. I'm a man of valor. How about you? Yeah, I'm a mighty man of valor too, you know? And David encouraged those men when they were distressed, despondent, and dismayed. Oh, no, no, no. You're a mighty man of valor. And that changed the way they fought. Lord, they whipped. Let me tell you just encourage somebody a little bit. It's amazing what they can do when they're just encouraged. These men were whipping everybody. But there come a day in David's floundering around about being the king himself that he got discouraged. What do you do when the one teaching you gets discouraged? And the one that called you, he's discouraged. And he went to Ziklag, and there he made a home with the Philistines. Believe it or not, the Philistines in Ziklag. And you know the story. He went out to fight against his own master. And they said, no, you can't, because I'm not going to let you fight against your own master, Saul, because you might reconcile yourself with your differences and fight against us. Go home. Well, when he went home, everything was on fire. Smoke was coming up. He went home. Everything was empty. Children gone. Wives gone. Everything gone. Animals gone. It's just burning smoke. And the 600 men that once he encouraged and told them there was a mighty man of valor thought of stoning him. You can see David sitting over by himself when they used to gather around him, and now he needs encouragement. What do you do when you need encouragement and the ones you encourage forsake you? And so he said, the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. You missed that part. In the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Through God's help, I can do this. And you know what he said? Bring me the ephod. Let's pray about this. Now, I want to tell you that encouraging yourself can only go so far. You can tell, I can do this. I can do that. This time, I got this down. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm over that. And it won't be long before you find yourself, if somebody else, I'm talking about the source of encouragement. If somebody else doesn't pump some courage into you, you will not do it on your own. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, get up and go, and thou shalt recover all. Now that's encouragement, Lord. I'm talking about the source of encouragement. When God says something, you might as well run the movie in your mind because it's going to happen. When God said the walls of Jericho will fall down when you march around it seven times and shout, you might as well close your eyes and run the movie in your mind. Because God doesn't say something except it's already happened. He said, go and thou shalt recover all. And so David went, and he did. And he was encouraged because his source of encouragement was the Lord. And sometimes the best source of encouragement is coming and will always come from people that are higher than you. It's hard to be encouraged when someone under you says, you can do it, and they hadn't done it. You can make it, and they hadn't made it. Now, this may sound strange, but I'm going to show you. Sometimes the very best source of encouragement is from somebody who failed, but they want you to make it. They have failed. But in their hearts, they don't want you to fail because they failed. They want you to succeed and learn from their failures. And they encourage you, saying, you can do it. I can tell you where I went wrong, but I'm going to help you to where you can do it. Look at a Naomi and a Ruth, if you will. Look at the source of encouragement. It didn't come from somebody who was successful. It came from a woman who was bitter and a woman who was discouraged herself. But her courage was now directed to Ruth. And she would win through Ruth. Whew. Ah. So sometimes people that fail can motivate you like nobody else can. Because sometimes if I am successful and I tell you, you can do it. I did it, you can do it. And if I can do it, you can do it. And then when you don't do it, you're further down. You are further down because I'm a failure. You did it and I can't do it. But if someone who is a failure encourages you, man, he's putting his faith in me. You understand what I'm trying to preach to you tonight? Now let me turn to the word of the Lord and I'll show you. Let's go to Deuteronomy 3 and 25. This is the prayer of Moses to the Lord. He said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. God, could you change your mind? See, Moses was that leader that talked to God face to face. It looked like Moses could make no mistake, but he made one. And you know what that mistake was. He smote the rock twice when the Lord said to speak to it. And because of that, the Lord said, you can't go over. But now we're getting close to going over. You ever ask God to change his mind about something? Lord, don't look at the one thing. Look at the hundreds of things I did right. Let me go over. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. I'm like, don't show me if I can't have it. Don't show me something you say, but you can't have this. We don't know all what happened with Moses. The Lord buried Moses, and so we don't know. But we do know that the Lord let him see it, but did not let him cross over. But here's my message in the 38th verse. You can't go, but I want you to charge Joshua. I want you to encourage him. I want you to strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. A man that did almost everything right, but could not go over, had a son in the Lord, if you will, a spiritual son, let's say, in the Lord, who went to the mountain with him, was there when the Ten Commandments was given out. You don't see where Joshua said anything, but he was Moses' minister and Moses' helper. And now Moses can't go over. And there Joshua may have done the same thing himself, but there he sits to be the next leader of this group of people. And the Lord shows Moses all this land. He said, now, you can't go. Shut up about this matter. Now, encourage him. Let me tell you, can you be a man? Can you be a Christian and in your failures encourage someone else to do what you didn't do? The best source of encouragement many times are those who didn't make it, but they know how to encourage others to make it. So I spend just a few minutes telling you about the three things he said to charge him, encourage him, and strengthen him. When you charge a battery, everyone knows about a battery and charge. It means that you take away from one thing and you put it in another thing. He said, I want you to take from what resources you have and charge him. Put that in him. And the Lord would later tell Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise and lead this people over. But Moses had to charge him, and Moses told him, be of good courage. Let me tell you, a David that was dying wanted to build the house of the Lord, and the Lord said, you can't do it. You've shed too much blood. And let me tell you, all of his life he was picking up stuff to build the house of the Lord. He got some gold here and some silver here and some timber here and some copper and some zinc. And he's gathering, boy, one day I'm going to build God a house. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. It'll be beautiful. Because in my day of trouble, I picked up all these things. And then when he got ready to do it, the Lord said, no, no, you're a man of war. You've shed too much blood. But charge your son, Solomon, to build my temple. And before David died, he brings Solomon in and he says, son, I charge thee to build this house for the Lord. Take what I have and add to it. Can you be the real Christian, my brothers and sisters, and be the source of encouragement for somebody else when you can't do it? Encourage them that they can. Too many times we want people to fail because we failed. And misery loves. When in fact we are to encourage people. He said, charge him. Encourage him. Encourage him. Build his courage up. Say, son, you can do this thing. And Joshua said, I've never been this way before. You remember when he said that? I've never been this way before. But that doesn't matter, son. I had neither. God brought us through this Red Sea. You remember how God brought us through. And just as God brought us through that, he can bring you over. He was encouraging him. And he strengthened him. He supported him in any way that he could. And you and I today need to charge others, encourage them, and strengthen them. Because I am here to tell you, one word of discouragement can destroy people. So Paul took some time to write a little letter. Anytime, it doesn't have to be a father, anytime you're leading someone else and you turn around and discourage them and provoke them. Anybody ever been provoked or just me? You can get on my last good nerve one too many times. And there is a courage that rises up inside of me. Y'all don't know. When I see somebody done wrong, I'd rather you do me wrong. I'll get over it. But when I see somebody else that's done wrong, you're going to hear from me. And see, let me just tell you how your pastor is. I go to bat for people. And y'all know that. I don't have to tell you song stories in this church. I go to bat for people. And I could say, well, it ain't my fight. It's not my war. It's not my problem. Had one time a man that I was talking to, and we were talking about things of the past and ministry and so forth, and I shared with him a little thing, some things that's happened to me in the ministry by certain people in the ministry. And he said, well, I hate to hear that, but it didn't happen to me. He said, it didn't happen to me. I said, I was through with him after that. I'll be honest with you. I was through. Because the Bible says, consider it yourself. And instead of encouraging me, he said, well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but they haven't done me that way. So I said, brother, it's a matter of time till they do you just what they did me. And then when it's you, call me and I'll encourage you. You see? So unless you're willing, if you want to say, well, it's not me, I'll just sit back here. I heard a story, and I probably won't tell it right, but I'll tell what I can remember. They put all Christians in jail. Quote, unquote, every denomination, every religion, they put them all in jail for the name of the Lord. And they would question each one of them, and of this religion and that religion, you know. And the one that was, let's just say, Methodist. He said, I'm not going to say nothing. That's one of them Baptists over there. I don't believe like they believe. Don't let them. And they took the Baptist man away and they executed him. And then came time for the Presbyterian guy. And the Pentecostal guy said, oh, I'm not going to say nothing. I don't believe like he believes. And before long, he was the only one left in the jail. Because he condemned everybody of everything. Till before long, he had nobody to speak for him. But let me tell you, if we will all voice ourselves together, hallelujah, I don't care if you believe in God, you ought to believe that we don't do things immoral. There ought to be some common ground we all can agree on and stand together as a church. Now recently you saw the lady that wouldn't give out the marriage. You saw that? Saw that? Okay. I'm whatever she did, I'm thankful. But what she didn't do was pull the church community together. She didn't do that. What we need are people that will pull everybody together. Because if you're not, you'll find yourself to be an island and alone. Encouragement comes from other people, and your encouragement of yourself will not last long. So Paul writes this letter in Corinthians. Fathers, provoke not your children, Colossians 3 and 21, to anger. Don't stir them up to where they want to leave, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged. Parents can destroy, leaders can destroy whoever's under them by speaking words of discouragement into their spirit. As I said, courage is a mind thing. And when you discourage someone in their spirit, you turn them out of the way, and they don't ever want to come back. And so we as Christians, and we as any, if you don't know,